I didn't really say it this morning, and I meant to, but you know, I'm really very proud of our boys, the basketball teams, the middle school and the varsity, taking second there at regionals and then off to state this next week. I do ask that you just keep in prayer these boys as though, and the families and whatnot that'll be going to those games. That's just so exciting, and I think Friday and Saturday, correct? Is that what I heard, Friday and Saturday? And so that's going to just be amazing. And so I was asked if I was going to keep it short this evening. So I'm going to have lots of pauses to make sure we keep it long. Kyle said not to let you out. You notice I blamed Kyle. Not before 9, you said? Not 9 p.m.? You don't really want to watch the rest of the stupid bowl anyways. I did see the Eagles are up 10-0. But I heard they've already had like 15 penalties, you know, against them. I asked some questions this morning, so let's get into the groove here. Why did the invisible man turn down the job offer? He couldn't see himself doing it. When you guys don't like these jokes, you can contact my youngest daughter. She's the one that gave them to me. I got a whole calendar of them, so anytime I speak, I can just have endless. Why was the big cat disqualified from the race? Because it was a cheetah. I mean, come on, these are easy. Hey, you know, Russ, you'll like this one. A man got hit in the head with a can of soda. He was all right, though. It was a soft drink. Really, I got to fill in time because, you know, I don't want to get you guys out too early. The pastor's going to be mad at me because, really, I am going to be timely. This is not a long message. I figure we probably, well, somebody asked me to keep it at half an hour. Evelyn, I won't drop names, you know. But she said half an hour. I said, no, I can't do that. I have to make it at least 31 and a half minutes. You know, the flamingo won the race. You could say he had a leg up. Did you know people always talk about the eye of the tiger, but no one talks about the other four letters? I mean, that's just wrong, isn't it, Rick? I mean, you know, they talk about the eye of the tiger, but, you know, archaeology really is a career in ruins. Amen. Got to have a little fun with those. Take your Bibles here tonight. Turn them to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to once again say good evening to Town East here, and I would like to say thank you on behalf of Pastor and all of us for being with us tonight as we gather for our Sunday evening church service, and we again welcome those of you who are joining us through our online service. Trust me, I know that you could be at home watching this big game, the Stupid Bowl, you know, and now if the Steelers were in there, I would be tempted to be at home watching the big game. Now, I was going to go ahead and broadcast it on the TVs behind me. I know y'all would think that was great, but then I know for sure you wouldn't hear a word that I had to say, so we opted not to do that, and Pastor's probably very thankful I didn't do that. But you do. You could have been somewhere else, and we have a nice gathering here tonight, and I appreciate that. I would also like to say thank you. So many of you came to me after this morning's message, this morning's service, and just had great comments and encouragement to me for that message. So thank you for that. When a preacher puts together a message and they speak it, you know, sometimes we don't know if it's going to be a message that is going to carry in somebody's heart or not. It means a lot when somebody comes up and gives some encouragement. So thank you for that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'd like us to look at verse 7. The word of God here, it states, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Do you see that? "Hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Russ, would you pray for our service here this evening? Amen. I really have a very simple title for this very simple message here tonight. This will not be my typical format. Most of you that know when I preach, I usually do two or three points. I do the sub points, and that's my style of preaching. Tonight is more just going to be a talking type of sermon. I don't have all those points here tonight. And my title is simply Encourage Yourself. Encourage Yourself. I thought, what a great way to follow up a message about love with a message about encouraging yourself. And I just pray that something in the words here tonight will sink in and resonate within your hearts. I want you to go with me to the Old Testament. I want you to locate Joshua chapter 1. For those newer Christians or those that don't know, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you have the book of Joshua, Old Testament there. And when we get down, when you get there, say amen, and we're going to read verse 9. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? There's a question there. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a great, great verse there. If I highlight your Bibles, that's one you might want to highlight. Now, do me a favor, go over to Psalms. The book of Psalms, go to Psalm 28. And when you're there, say amen. Psalm 28. Amen. And again, we're going to be at verse 7. God's word here says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. But that's not nope, that's not it. I'm in Psalm 27. I can't read tonight. It's okay. We'll go one page over. Try that again. We'll try that again. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Have you turned in your Bibles tonight? Now go with me to back to the New Testament. Go back to the book of John. And turn to chapter 16, John 16. Give me an indication once you're there, please. Amen. John 16, verse 33, we see that Jesus is speaking here, and the Bible says, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Church, I am positive, I am truly positive that I have spoken about encouragement in the past, maybe not in this format or this setting here, but I have spoken about encouragement in the past, but it never hurts to have a reminder, right? It doesn't hurt to have a reminder about encouragement. And one of the most debilitating forces that we all will face at some point in time during our lives is discouragement. Can we agree on that? Amen. We're all going to have that hard fact of facing discouragement. And I really believe that most of us started out with so much zeal and hope of accomplishing great goals in our lifetimes, and especially those who were newly saved. You see that with somebody that's fresh in their salvation. You see, they are generally super excited. Isn't it great to see somebody that's come here to the altar that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? They get excited for the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we get a little bit of wear in our faith. We get to become what we're called mature Christians, and we don't have quite as much zeal or hope in our faith. And those new ones, you know, they get excited and extremely zealous about doing something awesome for God. Don't you want to do something awesome for God? Amen. Amen. However, many times, this is just the reality of it, many times they are halted. Oftentimes, that's unintentionally, but they're halted from doing what they had planned. It is possible that maybe that the goal or dream that they initially desired to obtain required more effort to achieve than they had expected. Or perhaps someone's help discouraged them from even trying. Or maybe an unkind word, or even someone's disapproving look took the air out of their sails and they drifted off course, never to accomplish what they had set out to do. See, in my opinion, encouragement is required more often when one is younger, although I completely understand that those who are more mature, you notice I didn't use the word old. I'm so nice. But are more mature require encouragement as well. Brother Ron, you like encouragement, don't you? Nick, you like encouragement? Stephanie, you like encouragement? Terry, you like encouragement, right? Young folks over there, y'all like some encouragement? Amen. I want you to think about this. An individual who has been newly saved may require more encouragement than one that has been saved for a longer period of time, you know, longer than that mature believer. However, one should never use lack of encouragement or lack of support as an excuse. See, we can't use it as an excuse. As an excuse to not do what is right. It is a fact, though, no matter the age, we all become discouraged from time to time. Can we say amen to that? Amen. So here's a question for you. I like questions in some of my sermons and my Sunday school teachings. So the question is what do we do when we are slowed or halted because of overwhelming disenchantment? What do we do in that case? Unfortunately, too many get discouraged and they stop. They go no further. And they do that generally until they're encouraged once again. And folks, this is never a solution to the problem. Thankfully, you will find that God has provided wisdom for Christians to deal with discouragement. Church, the first step, or at least it should be, is to get your mind off yourself. Uh-oh. You got to get your mind off yourself. There's somebody much more important to put first in your life. Try putting God first in your life, amen? Very first step. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2, please. Galatians chapter 2, and let's read verse 20 together here. Say amen once we're there so I know. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Go over a couple of chapters there to chapter 5 for me. Galatians chapter 5. Let's drop down to verses 24 and 25. And the word of God here, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But look there at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Let's look together with verse 15. God's word says here, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. But unto him which died for them and rose again. Go over to Romans chapter 14. Let's look at Romans chapter 14. I should have had some Bible drills tonight, sword drills tonight, huh? Amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. Here it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Hey, church, if we find ourselves discouraged, it is usually because our emphasis is not on him, but instead it is on ourselves. That's what tends to happen. You know, it's the oh my, so it is potentially my fault that I want to quit, not somebody else's fault. It's on us. It's on ourselves. We've taken our focus off of God. My friends, if you are part of the problem, then you can be part of the solution. It's simple as that. You know, the Bible instructs us to stop worrying about ourselves. And yet we are a society of worry. We worry about everything. I'm worried that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win tonight. I'm going to hear about this three-peat for the next century. I mean, we know that the Cowboys are going to take a century to get back into the Super Bowl. So I'm going to have to... Look, hey... Cowboys fans, don't worry. You don't have to worry about a three-peat. It probably is never going to happen, okay? All right? They haven't three-peated. No NFL team's ever three-peated. Now, they have five Super Bowl wins, but they have never three-peated. I three-peated today, didn't I, Brother Ron? Sunday school, morning service, and evening service. See, so I got to put that big ring on my... Hey, you all have my ring to fit me afterwards, right? It better be full of diamonds, too. All right? I got to trade that in for some eggs later. All right? You know, we do, though. We worry about everything. You know, at home, I know it's a lot, but I have six cats. I got to worry about this one cat. Just never wants to stop. I keep telling April, let's just let it outside. It won't last 15 minutes, but... You know, I got to worry about that. And our cow's getting ready to birth, so I got to worry about this calf. Is it going to make? And then I think my one car has a bad wheel bearing. I got to worry about this. And in the morning, I got to worry about traffic because nobody here in Texas knows how to drive, except me. I know how to drive. Nobody else does. You know what I mean, right, Brother Nick? I mean, they don't know how to drive, especially these 18-wheeler drivers. Man, we worry about everything. We are a society of worry. Some of our happiest and most encouraging memories are those of when we put our energies into making another person feel good. Do you realize that? I firmly believe that. That's why it's in my notes, of course. When I put the energy into making somebody feel good, you know what? I feel relieved. I feel uplifted. I feel good. Oh, you know what? I then encourage myself because I'm able to encourage somebody else. A self-centered person is often unhappy and they're almost always discouraged. Now, I know, look, I look out here, I see all these angels out here. I see your halos that are being held up there. I don't know what those pointy things are that are holding them up, but I see, I know none of you are self-centered here. I know angels here, but... A self-centered person is often unhappy. They're always just discouraged. God truly knows that if we encourage those around us when they are in need of uplifting, that there will be one to meet our needs within that area. God knows that. Those that criticize and those that wound those around them with their cruel tongues and nasty attitudes, and man, I hate going to Walmart. You see a lot of nasty attitudes in Walmart. And look, folks, I know y'all love your HEB, but there's a bunch of nasty attitudes at HEB too. All right. Especially when they say, like, you know, have you ever noticed if they say that the temperature is going to get down to 30 degrees, Everything's going to be empty on the shelves tomorrow. We're supposed to get 38, I think, Wednesday night. I guarantee HEB's going to be cleared out, y'all. Toilet paper for one day is going to run out because it's going to be cold for one day. Now I lost my spot. Nasty attitudes should not be surprised that there's nobody around to help them in their time of need. I think I shared this with my Sunday school class. Last year, my mom had to go in the hospital. Now, Mom, if you're watching, I love you, but you're grouchy. All right? You're grouchy. And she goes in the hospital, and she's complaining to the doctor and complaining to the nurse. And I know my angels here would never do that. So when I come visit you, you make sure you put on the nice side of you, because I don't want to have to come back and say, well, you know, Ron wasn't that way at the hospital. I had to look at my mom because, you know, she's not getting attention. She's mean. So she's not getting the attention. You know, the nurses didn't want to come in there. I didn't want to go in there. And you know what? I'm still mad at my sister. She made me. She sat at home while I was at the hospital with my grouchy mom. Now, Miss Linda, you're not that way, are you? No. Halo. I see the halo there. Oh, she dimed you. She threw you under the bus and hit reverse. Oh, man. I had to look at my mom. I had to look at my mom, and I literally asked her. I seriously did. I said, are you always this way when you get checked into the hospital or go to the doctor? Are you always this way? Well, what do you mean, son? I said, you're mean. You're nasty. I said, why don't you try being nice to the nurse? You know that saying, Mom, you used to tell me when I was a kid, you know, honey catches more bees or whatever it is, you know. Why don't you try it? You know what she, well, at least when I was around, she became nice. And she got all the attention that she needed. And they started bringing her extra things, and she got extra treats. And I looked at her, I said what she used to tell me. I told you so. I told you so. See, so, hey, you old fogies, some of you here are, you know, what we're going to get to say to you, I told you so. I know, Miss Linda, I said it. But I'm starting to get up there, too, and my kids one day, not too soon, I'll still whoop them, but they're going to one day say, I told you. But, you know, when you have that nasty attitude, should you really expect somebody to be nice to you? I mean, you shouldn't be flabbergasted, folks. If you're going to be nasty to somebody around you, then you should expect somebody. And look, I am the type of personality. I know this is going to, you know, shock y'all, but if you're mean to me, guess what? I am the type of person, I am going to be mean back to you. I didn't spend 10 years in the Marine Corps to be nice. All right? And April will tell you, I you want to be disrespectful, mean to me, I just will not be nice back to you. And I have to work on that because I'm supposed to be nice, right? I'm a Christian, I pastored, I'm supposed to be nice. So, you know, love one another. Just well, look, I love them. I love them, but I don't like them, okay? I don't like them. You know what? Moses, who experienced discouragement many times, knew what an encouraging word could do. When turning his responsibility of leadership over to Joshua, you know, Moses told the people that they needed to encourage their new leader. Deuteronomy chapter 3, I won't have you turn there, verse 28, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. He also reminded them of how critical talk had disheartened them in the past. Critical talk, and I'm guilty of this. Critical talk will dishearten somebody so quickly. And April could dime me out. It'll be okay because I'm guilty as all about that. And it's easy. And sometimes it's harder to admit it when it's yourself doing it, but. You know, critical talk, man, that can sure dishearten somebody. Don't you agree, folks? Hezekiah, when trying to get Israel to once again serve the Lord, instructed the people to obey the law of God and give to the servants of God like they were supposed to, so they would be encouraged. If we're 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 4, it says, "Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, and they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord." Josiah also knew the priests would be encouraged when others obeyed God's command and served God properly. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to service the house of the Lord. That was 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. I actually gone a little longer than I thought, so we did not make your 30 minutes, sorry. Church, unfortunately, there will certainly be times when no support comes from anyone around us. I'm sorry, that is a fact. Young folks, it's going to be hard to realize that as you get older, but there's going to be a time where no support's going to come from anyone around us. It's part of maturing and growing up, and it happens. So I guess another question for you, what does one do then? What does somebody do in that time when that support isn't coming from anyone around us? Let me tell you that most of the time, the only one that can really encourage us is ourselves. Ourselves. You know, when the people of Israel were commanded to battle an opponent and they did not want to fight, I got reminded when I was preparing this of our cheerleaders, and here no cheerleaders ran to the center of the battlefield and urged them on. It didn't happen. No, instead they had to encourage themselves, and the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 20, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. How many of us know about David? Wow, I only got like two hands raised up. I would hope we would know about David, right? David faced many disappointments, didn't he? And was often discouraged, right? Wasn't he often discouraged? The king knew people would let him down quite often. So he encouraged himself that God would help him as he had done in the past. He encouraged himself in knowing that God would help him. You know, in 1 Samuel, the Bible tells us, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But we might be sitting here tonight, maybe we're a little discouraged, and you might be saying, well, that's all fine there, preacher, but how did David encourage himself in the Lord? Oh, I just can't do it right now. You know what? He did it by remembering all the hard times and all the difficulties that God had helped him with in the past. And if God had helped him in the past, then David must have known that he would help him again. And this faith gave him the assurance that no matter where he was or what he was facing, God would help him. By the way, folks, God will help you too. And I know many amongst us right here tonight might have a source of discouragement, just not feeling it. Maybe even we're dreading coming into church tonight. Oh, it's not the pastor. It's just that weird guy up there going to be speaking tonight. And I got this going on, and I got that going on. And do you know what? God will help you. He really will. Take your Bibles, turn them to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, back there, of course, in the Old Testament, right before Proverbs. We should know that. Amen. When you get there, drop down to verse 6. Give me a hearty amen. Amen. Bible here says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. After reading that, I want you to ponder this here. And how about asking yourself right here, right now, ask yourself this question: has God helped me in the past? Has God helped you in the past? And I see plenty of heads shaking, all of them acknowledging that he has. Well, if he has, and I am sure that is the case just by our reactions, then there is no, and there is no unconfessed sin. By the way, we should be confessing our sins, amen, between him and you, then why would he not do it again? Why would he not do it again? And see, I could probably end right there, because that should be very encouraging to you. Knowing that he can and will do it again. Nowhere in the Word of God, by the way, says we're going to be having a bed of roses. It does, I know Valentine's Day is coming up, but it doesn't say we're going to be having a bed of roses. We are going to go through valleys. We're going to have our trials and tribulations. We're going to be discouraged, amen. But God can and will be there for you. Now, I know all this. Former pastor of a church, part of the ministry here. I know all this, right? I should just lead a perfect life. We know that's not possible. But the other day, well, it's really a couple of weeks ago, and I hate to admit it, but I was a little down myself. It was a Sunday. I usually get up during the week. I get up around 4:30 Sunday mornings. So I get up right at about 5. I get to sleep in a half an hour on Sundays. That's so nice. I sit and I have my coffee. I watch the news. I try not to get depressed before coming to church, but that day it didn't help. I was discouraged, folks. I was down. And no matter what, I could not pull out of it, and not even by trying to encourage myself. And I remember that day, as often we do, April will read scriptures as we're driving in. I mean, I got a real short 45-minute drive coming here, and so she'll be reading scriptures, and that didn't even uplift me. And usually, you know, get into the Word of God, it grips you and gets you going, and I couldn't get out of the funk, you know? How many of you have been there? You can raise your hands. Amen. We all can get in there. You know what? I couldn't get out of that funk until I walked into Town East Baptist Church. It was during one of our services. I was in a Sunday school class, and I don't remember which of the men it was, but it was almost immediately someone from right here amongst us started boasting about God. In fact, I know for a fact that that person is kind of going through a hard time themselves right now. And he's not amongst us, because looking out, he's not here. He's gone through a hard time, but he was boasting about God. And soon after, I recall that we were both starting to brag about God. We were bragging on him. Now, I was down. I'm telling you, I was down. I wasn't smiling. I wasn't chipper. You would have thought I didn't have a single drop of coffee that day. I certainly didn't have tacos the night before. I get deprived now. I want you to have sympathy for me. But you know what? That encouraged me. Him bragging on God and taking the time to share it with me, and then me starting to brag with them. And then, you know, we got out here after the Sunday school, and April and I, we were sitting right up here, and we started singing the good old hymns. Those good old hymns about him and his goodness. I think one of them might have been Goodness of God or one of those. And let me just tell you, by the way, I love when we sing the old hymns during the congregational singing. I love the old hymns. Oh, I love them. I like some of the other music too, but I love our old hymns. You know what? Standing right there, that encouraged me. It wasn't April, no offense. It wasn't, and I don't mean that in a, you know, I wasn't really trying to get the chuckle there, but it wasn't her that was there. I was allowing the goodness of God to start to circulate through my body, and I was starting to kind of myself, encourage myself, singing and uplifting those old hymns, boasting about God, taking the time to remember just how good God is. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now, I'll tell you personally, I disagree with that saying, and somebody's going to yell at me, but I think God is great. I don't think he's just good. I think he's great. I love our Heavenly Father. But that is what encouraging oneself in the Lord means. You know, we are often unhappy when we do not get encouraged by others. Yet, my friends, how do we encourage others? Sometimes it is we that do the discouraging, intentionally or not. And although there are times for correction and rebuke, too often it does too much damage. We can bring defeat to others by voicing our opinion. Let me just tell you, folks, sometimes there's a proper place or time to voice that opinion. Sometimes you just got to zip it. But just be honest. And it's hard for me to do that because I'm a pretty vocal individual. But sometimes we have to do that. You see, too often it does too much damage, and rebuking them or even, you know what, I like to observe people and I do watch y'all. Just sometimes even your body language. Just your body language. You can usually tell when somebody's just having a, I know my angels here, y'all are okay. You know, some of your halos are a little brighter than others, but you know. Did you know your body language can sometimes affect how somebody else feels? Can either encourage them. My wife is going, yes, you. She didn't even hide it. She could have waited till later. She just told me that this message is for me. Amen. Our lack of work and participation can also discourage others too. Look, ministry is hard, and oftentimes it's the same people doing the same jobs all the time in ministry. And that gets sometimes discouraging. You know, we have a lot of different ministries here. There's something for everybody sitting here to do. Moses knew this when he rebuked the people that would not join in on a battle. They're letting the other guy do it was a discouragement to those that were participating in the battle. And the word of God in Numbers, it says, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Question there. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers. Frequently, our not helping in a situation makes the task harder for others to accomplish. Just for many years in ministry, but you know, many soul winners who wanted to do the right thing and witness to others on church-wide visitation, you know what? They quit because no one else goes. Now, I do pray that you're out there trying to reach others with the gospel. Preachers have looked for another ministry because all the ideas they had were shot down by members, trustees, or deacons. Sunday school teachers have gone by the wayside because of little concern and participation by students or by even parents if they're in the youth or by other church members. I've heard pastor many times right here from the pulpit say, hey, if you're not coming to Sunday school, maybe you should. Be an encouragement to those Sunday school teachers. Come and you know you'll learn a little bit about the Word of God too. I guarantee that. Mothers, we have many mothers here may have lost their enthusiasm to cook a meal after hearing only complaints. Now, I sure hope your kids are not complaining about the food they have, but you know what? I have kids and I know it happens. My little grandson, though, he eats about anything and everything. He's a good. I'm about ready to get him some jalapenos. He's going to turn a year old, so he's about ready for some jalapeno. Amen. Then we'll get him on some coffee and he'll be just like Poppy. Amen. Children, you know, gave up their dreams because of constant correction. You know, working in the school and just dealing with children's ministry for many years, that there's a lot of children out there that don't have a good home setting like many of the children that we have here. And oftentimes they're abused or just put down, demoralized or whatever. And you know what? They just want to give up their dreams because of constant correction. And if you are on the sideline because no one cares or appreciates you, maybe you should consider the discouragement to others that you may have caused. God knows that it's extremely essential that we uplift each other, encourage each other. And not only are we all capable of encouraging each other, but he also gives some of us the spiritual gift of exhorting, of encouraging others. And yes, encouragement is necessary for believers as well. I challenged you this morning. You don't have to say you did or not, but I challenge you to send an I love you text this morning. I hope you all did. I did. I can show you my phone. I sent one. But I did that challenge because I knew I was speaking this message tonight. Because not only did you get to share that you love them and you got to share love one another, but you also had an opportunity to encourage somebody today. And you don't know, and you may never know, if that text was something that changed their life. Because people go through some hard things and they don't tell us. They don't talk about it. Sometimes you're at your wit's end. You're just ready. And you might receive that little bit of encouragement from a friend or a family member that could change their world. So encouragement is necessary. Romans chapter 12, verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Sitting around and being discouraged will never help anyone. The only way out of a disenchanted mindset is, well, to change something. You know, it's like that. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, well, you know it's not going to happen, right? You know you have to change something. Instead of waiting to be fixed, why not be a fixer? Break the sad cycle of discouragement and try being an encourager. And folks, we all could use your inspiring words. I pray every day that I can be an encouragement to somebody, whether it's a teacher, a student, my own family, somebody out and about when we're at the store. Break the sad cycle of discouragement. Be an encourager. Because we can use those inspiring words. And one day, when you need it the most, there will be someone nearby to lift you up with their encouraging words or actions. You know, the Word of God, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to prepare to close in a word of prayer here in a minute. And I just have this to say. Be encouraged. Be encouraged and then go encourage somebody else. If you are a Christ-loving, Christ-believing, Christ-knowing Christian, then you are on the winning side. Every head bowed, every eye closed here. I'm not going to speak a lot during this time here, but we'll have a moment of invitation here. We'll have some music here momentarily. But as you're sitting there in your seats, and of course the altar is open, why don't you have a moment with the Lord? Or come and kneel at the altar and have a moment with the Lord. Are you a source of discouragement or are you an encourager? Do you let yourself just continually get down, or do you try to lift yourself up and encourage yourself? Are you putting God first, or are you putting yourself first?